There comes a time when it's more than just fantasy, when it's more than just a dream. There comes a time when you are the coach. Those players out there taking huge hits, smashing sixes and kicking goals, they're your players. It's your pride on the line, all in the name of bragging rights. When the time comes, there is only one place to turn. There is only OTLS Fantasy Sports Refuge.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to our Round 2 wrap. The week where, after a few mistakes to start the year, would have all been fixed up by now, and we would just be riding break-evens to creep some extra cash. A week where the teams look good and we have minimal issues. Now, whoever said that are kidding themselves. Not sure about you, Arch, but that couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah, look, Zona, I don't know what you're on about, bud. I've got no issues to deal with whatsoever. I've got no injuries. I definitely picked all the right rookies to put on the field. I've got a ton of money in the bank. And, yeah, it's all flying from this end. I'm ranked number one in each of the three formats. So, yeah, it's all sunshine and roses here, mate.
Of course, mate. And I just proposed and got accepted to marry Scarlett Johansson. We're going to sail away on my $40 billion yacht tomorrow. So,
yeah, exactly.
Not sure what we're doing here, but I don't know what game we're playing. But, you know, it's all the same.
Speaking of games, Zano, back to reality. So we're 2 weeks in, and you know how I like to spring a pop quiz on you?
Yes.
So here we go. We've got a little bit of data. So tell me. We've got 2 weeks in. Which team over the first 2 weeks is the highest scoring fantasy team?
Ooh.
Now, we know traditionally it's been Collingwood and the Western Bulldogs. We know it's definitely not Collingwood.
I was actually going to say the Bulldogs.
You would be close, Zeno. Ooh, okay. You would be close.
If not, let me quickly think.
Bulldogs are a very, very close second.
Yes.
I say very close. They're, what's that, about 120 points behind the top team.
Oh, could it be Port Adelaide?
It is not. Yeah. Port Adelaide are in third.
Well, Nat, you've got me stumped.
It is the mighty Sons of the Gold Coast.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. So they've scored just a tick over 3,500 fantasy points for the season. And, you know, look, they don't have a lot of, you know, out-and-out fantasy stars in their team. So it's a pretty even spread. But, yeah, I found that very fascinating.
Definitely.
Yeah. So the flip side of that, Zane, and this one is interesting as well. Who has scored the least amount of fantasy points for the season?
I'm going to go with North Melbourne.
You would be incorrect there, Zona. Okay. They are fourth last.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
My second guess might even be Carlton.
Carlton are fifth last.
Okay.
You're going the wrong way, Zona.
You've got me stuck.
I'll give you one more. Give you one more.
One more shot at it. Okay. Couldn't be them. Could it be GWS?
They are third last. No, so you're on the right track.
Well, if it's not there, it's got to be Essendon or... Essendon or Adelaide, doesn't it?
Oh, Essendon, no. Adelaide?
Yep.
No.
No, okay.
No, it is the Brisbane Lions.
Now, I was going to say that, but I was seeing your next question and I thought you might have been trying to trick me.
No, it is. It is definitely the Brisbane Lions. They've scored 2,438 points.
Okay.
In second place is Adelaide with 2,757. So they are 300 points behind the next worst team.
Wow.
So we'll get to the next question, Zana, and then we might have a bit of a discussion about that, though I think it's pretty obvious now.
Mm.
Which team is the only team to have not scored a fantasy 100?
Yep, so I knew that was Brisbane. So that's what stumped me on the last one, Arch. I didn't think you'd stump me twice. So. I knew it was Brisbane that haven't scored 100 yet, which is quite mind-boggling with some of the guys in that team. It's just strange, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah. So I thought that was quite interesting, having those two teams bookend the fantasy scoring. As you say, you got pretty close at either end with that.
Mm.
But it was those two teams that really sort of stood out there. The other interesting thing that I found, Zano, for the first couple of weeks, is we have not had a single 150-plus fantasy score.
Yeah, right.
So all this talk about the rules opening up the game, and to be honest, I think it has, but I think it's actually affected scoring the other way, Zano. And when I get a little bit more data, maybe on the long weekend when I've got a bit of extra time, I'm actually going to go back to 2019 and compare, you know, what the scores were in 2019 compared to 2021. Obviously, we can't do 2020 with the limited minutes and that sort of stuff, and just see what effect, you know, these rule changes have had on fantasy scoring, which will be interesting to have a look at in a week or so.
What I would feel would be good, and I don't think we've got this data to be able to go back and do it, is I reckon the standard deviation has shrunk. I reckon that if you looked at the average between the highest score and the lowest score of each game and each team, that's lower now than it has been in the past.
For the players, you mean?
Players, yes, not total team.
Yeah, I
players.
Don't have that data.
No.
I could probably do the standard deviation between the teams but not the players.
I reckon that's where the difference is. I reckon they're probably scoring similar overall, but I reckon that where you might have had 150 and a 20, you're now getting 120 and a 40 sort of thing, you know?
Yep.
So I just feel that the scoring's a lot more even across the teams than what it might have been two or three, 4 years ago. But that's just a gut feel, just looking at scores more than anything.
No worries. All right, Zano, on to round two. So first thing, as always, that we cover off are the injuries. And, yep, sit back, Zano, because here we go. We got a long list here this time. So from Thursday night's game, Jamie Elliott, he was subbed out and replaced by Trey Rusko. He's been diagnosed with a fractured fibula, and you'd think he'd be out for a few weeks with that one.
Oh, that's got to be 6 to 8, surely.
You would think so. You would think so. In the Brisbane game, Jared Berry was a very late out, replaced by Jackson Pryor, son of who, Zano?
Yes, the very famous Pryor, of course.
Michael Pryor, Michael, obviously, of course, Essendon and lesser so West Coast fame.
Yep. Oh, West Coast.
Okay. So he played his first game there, which is interesting. And I did hear, or did I see on Twitter, someone saying, oh, wonder if mum and dad got a quick little phone call there to see if they could get to the ground, because I think that one was in Melbourne. So I'm wondering, where mum and dad are, and because that would be very interesting, getting your first game as a late in.
Yeah, it would have been. I mean, it happens a bit, I guess. It's happened to a few guys. I can't think of names, but I remember the scenarios. But, yeah, I don't know if they could. I don't even know if they're Brisbane people or if they're Melbourne people. Who knows?
Melbourne, yep. Now, Oscar McInerney in that same game. Now, he hurt his ankle in the first quarter, battled through and finally succumbed in the fourth and was subbed off for Keaton Coleman. Have you seen any news on that one, Zano,
no.
In terms of... No.
Not yet, mate. I think Brisbane are more worried about getting home than they are about a few.
Well, that's very true. I must admit, I did have a little giggle when I turned the radio on to leave work on Friday night, and it said, all the Brisbane supporters got kicked out of the stadium.
And not just supporters, poor guys like Luke Hodge and Carey got sent home as well, saying, you boys have to quarantine, you've been in Brisbane. Too bad. So the world we live in, Arch, the world we live in.
All right, moving on to the next game. Mitch Georgiades was a late in for Todd Marshall, and he scored very nicely. I'm a bit of a fan of Georgiades, I must admit. I've got him in a couple of my draft teams, I think. And, scored a very nice 91 points there.
Same. I've been big on him for a while, knowing that he'll score well once he gets a chance. But how long he can stay in that team, I don't know. But you can't drop him. Yep. You can't drop him after that performance. So,
well, you would think so, but who
knows?
He's
got to have a few games more in him, I'd say.
Yep. Dyson Heppel, he was also a late out for that game. He was replaced by Marty Gleeson. So, obviously, one game was enough. I think he's got back issues, Dyson Heppel. Yeah. So,
back, ankle, lower leg, shoulder.
Yeah.
You know.
I picked him up in a couple of leagues, and I think I've got him in one draft league and one salary cap format. Yeah. And, you know, you know exactly what you're getting in terms of injuries or injury risk. The big one, Zano, I think, from this round maybe the second big one in regards to fantasy anyway, was Jai Caldwell. Now, he blew out his hammy in the third and was replaced by Tom Cutler. Hammies are, you know, typically a minimum 2 weeks, and depending on how bad it is, it might be longer than that.
I would have said at least generally 4 for a hammy. If you're lucky.
Yep, depends on how bad it is. And the big one for Essendon, Zano, Sam Draper, he had his ankle iced up in the third quarter, didn't come back on. So their ruck stocks are going to be very, very light.
I mean, McKernan, who's he? No, the other one now. They ended up rucking I'm trying to think who it was in the midfield.
Oh, they rucked Hooker there for a
Hooker,
while.
Hooker, that's who it was, who had to come in and help out when he went down. So, you know, you're batting. I mean, they didn't have any rucks to start with. They sort of threw everything
on
Draper back.
No, well, McKernan's playing for St Kilda now, so he's not going to be able to help him.
No, so that's what I mean. It wasn't McKernan, it was Hooker. But, yeah, it's going to be a... Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do there. I don't even know if they've got anybody in the wings. I haven't even looked.
Yeah, that's it. And in a pretty bad game, I guess, for Essendon all round, Dylan Scheel hurt his knee in a late in the game as well in a tackle by Tom Jonas. He was on crutches by the end of the game. So, Zainer, what are the chances that we get the call up for Essendon, mate?
Yeah, well, I heard, and don't quote me on this, where I heard it from, that it looks like a medial, which is going to be, you know, a little while
that's
out.
6 to 8 weeks at least,
yeah,
isn't it?
So, yeah, there's a couple of teams out there scraping the barrel at the moment. Yeah, mate, it's yeah, I don't know what's going on. The injuries the last couple of years, this year in particular, have just been extraordinary.
We had, for St Kilda, Jimmy Webster subbed off late in the third quarter for Jack Bytel, who came on.
Yep.
And then moving on to the Gold Coast game, Sam Day, he hurt his knee in the second quarter, made it to halftime, but then they subbed him off for Nick Holman.
Yep.
Jack Marnie on North Melbourne, he rolled his ankle late in the game and was replaced by Aaron Hall.
Yep. And just quietly on that, Aaron Hall should never be allowed to play AFL football again. I don't know if you saw that, Arch.
I didn't see the game, mate, but I know where you're going with this, given the chat that we had the other day.
Cornrows. What is he thinking, Arch? What is he thinking?
Maybe Allen Iverson wannabe, mate.
Yeah, it's okay if you do it in the NBA. You don't get away with it in the AFL.
Will Day hurt his ankle, and he was replaced by Jack Scrimshaw. Yep. And in the last game of the round, Zano, a big one that we're going to talk about in your segment in a little second, Nat Fyfe, he was KO'd by Sam Reed in the third quarter. Now, given the AFL's new concussion rules, he'll definitely be out the next game with that minimum 12-day break. And, look, Nat Fyfe does have a bit of a history of concussion there, so they may even just err on the side of caution there, and he may even miss two games would be my bet there.
Yeah, look, I don't know. What do they have, a Sunday game today? I'd say they... What's their next round game? Hang on, let me see if I can find something quickly online. How many... So he's going to miss the next one, so that's
yeah, he'll definitely miss the next one.
I haven't got... No, it'll take me too long to load that up. So I don't know when the next game is, but it'll be what he'll miss... What is it, 7 and then maybe 6? He's probably got 13, 14 games till his second game. So, you know, if they play on the Saturday, the second game, then that's only 13 days. So,
it's tight,
exactly. Isn't it? So, who knows? It could well be more than two, for sure.
Yeah, and what do you reckon of that incident, Zainer? We might as well jump into your segment now.
Cool. Well,
how did you put... grade that that little hit there by Sam Day. Sam Reed.
I've watched it about 20 times and I'm still confused, Arch, as to what's going to happen here. I think he goes to bump because I think you can see him leave the ground and jump into Fyfe slightly.
Yeah.
You know, like, not when I say leave the ground, I don't know if he actually really got him high. It was more just the impact. But I think the question in this is going to be, was it just an incident that Fyfe ran into him, he saw it at the last second and braced himself and Fyfe was open and he wasn't, or did he actually make forceful contact with Fyfe deliberately?
So you're going with the Dangerfield defence here, Zaino.
Well, no,
I couldn't avoid it, so I braced myself.
No, the Dangerfield defence was not even, that was just a joke. There was no defence, he could have tried all he liked on that. This is a little bit different to the Dangerfield one because, you know, it happened in such a split second. Dangerfield tried to target the guy. I don't know, Arch, what do you reckon? I think that he'll get cited for a bump, which means he's in trouble.
I agree, Zaino. I'm not sure it's as bad as Danger last week.
Yep.
He'll definitely get one if you hit a guy and he goes off for a week. Whether, to be honest, if you knock a guy out, you're gone for at least a week, be it a bump, a tackle, or whatever.
Yeah.
If you do something that causes somebody to be knocked out, you're gone, Ski. I think he probably gets two, to be honest.
So, as I said, the question here is whether they deem that he actually bumped him or whether it was just a unavoidable, you know, impact, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's the, and you're right, if they deem that he's actually deliberately bumped him, he's in trouble. That's, I think that's the line here, isn't it? Once they deem, because let's be honest, players run into players all the time.
Yep.
So the question is going to be whether they thought he went and bumped. And I don't think he's gone and lined the guy up or anything like that. I think they were both just in the same place at the same time, and one guy was a bit bigger and stronger than the other. The question is whether they believe he actually bumped him or whether he was just bracing himself. And it's going to be a fine line, but I would say I'm erring on the side that he bumped him.
Yep. Slightly. There will be riots in Geelong if he gets off, put it that way.
Yeah, you could be right, but as I said, it's just a... Yeah, it's going to be a real interesting one because, who knows, Arch? Who knows what they do these days? Who knows? And, of course, the other quick suspension on the weekend, Arch, was Gary Rohan got 2 weeks for his hit on, you said Selwood, it was actually his hit on Lockie Neal.
It was too.
Bit of a roundhouse to the neck, basically. So I think that was pretty fair. I think there's nothing to worry about there as far as fantasy goes.
No, that's right. And I must admit, maybe it was just somebody gets hit in the head. I assume it's a Selwood.
Yep. Yeah, that's it. Fair call on that.
So, I just want to touch on that quickly, Zane, because he basically hit him from behind. And that's a bit of a dog act, if you ask me. I mean, yes, I think he went to whack him on the shoulder and it slid up to his head. But in the end, it got him in the head. If he had KO'd him from behind, we would have been talking almost like band sort of stuff.
Oh, you're talking
swinging from behind, that was pretty low, I thought.
Yeah, I think it was as well. I don't know. There seemed to be a bit of blood spilt before that as well, somewhere. I think this wasn't the first thing that had happened before.
There was definitely some argy-bargy happening between
the two. But it doesn't give him the right to do what he did. And I think he's lucky that Neil bounced up pretty quickly, because if you got him a little bit worse, he could have been looking at a lot bigger a suspension.
Yep. All right, Zane, now we go into the good, the bad, and the ugly for this week, and I'll kick it off, and I'm going to give this week my good goes to, I guess, the dynamic duo of rookies, and I'm talking about James Jordan and Errol Goulden. Now, Jordan, he scored 105 for the Ds.
Yes.
Which you take that from a premium these days, wouldn't you?
I think he's probably close to my highest scoring midfielder this week.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, a lot of our so-called premium midfielders, they're not doing super bad. We're not throwing them out of the team, but they're averaging, or they're scoring between sort of 83 and 97 sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So not bad enough to throw them out, but not fantastic. And then this guy comes in and scores 105 for the Ds, backing up, obviously, in week one with his score of 80. So that's an average of 92.5 points over the first round. And it was also quite handy there. I mentioned before, Dyson Heppel was in my, I think he was in my dream team.
Yep.
And Jordan was my emergency. So I'm fairly certain that his 105 would have outscored anything that Dyson Heppel could have done anyway.
Yes, I think you're right. He would have done much, much better than Dyson. And just a quick note there as an extension as well. We spoke a bit about rookie roulette last week.
Yep.
I must say that this week I think I got it right, Arch. As far as rookies versus rookies go, I didn't leave a point on the bench, which is amazing.
Nice. I definitely did.
The scary part is, I'm looking over it now, as far as some of my mid-priced and premiums go, I left points on the bench. I would have been better off playing a couple of rookies over a couple of the other guys I got sitting there. So, you think you get it right, you still get it wrong. So just as an extension from last week.
Yeah, and so Errol Goulden, Zano, apart from having an awesome first name, he scored another impressive 93 this week after scoring 108 in the first round.
Yep.
So that average, that takes him up to just a smidge over 100, Zano, averaging in the triple digits for a rookie.
Yes.
Surely we don't have another Matt Rowell on our hands, do we?
Well, mate, I mean, we could well do. I don't think he sustains it. I mean, they've got Richmond this week, so there's the test for him. So,
exactly.
We'll wait and see on that. So I don't know if we'll have another Matt Rowell, but I do think you're going to run with him for a while. I think you can be reasonably confident there. So
that's cool. Sure.
The other rookie I wanted to just give a quick shout out to as well, Arch, is Matty Flynn.
Yes, I sort of forget he's a rookie, to be honest.
I know, he's been around. We've had him in our team for 6 years. Yeah, he had a 72 after a 99 last week, so he's backing in at an 86, which, let's be honest, I haven't looked yet because we've only just finished on a Sunday night. He'd have to be still one of the highest ranked rucks out there, wouldn't he? I'm just having a quick look now.
He's definitely doing better than Riley O'Brien, that's for sure.
Oh, that's not hard. He is actually sixth. Okay. There you go.
Well, maybe sixth for the round. I thought he would have been higher average.
Let me try that again. I've clicked on the wrong button. No, sixth.
Yeah, right. Oh, well,
so,
there you go.
Averaging 86, Reece Stanley 87, Max Gore 91, Scott Lysette 94, Jared Witts 97, and Grundy 104. But those guys all had pretty big weeks. So he had a 72. But no, it's still not bad from a guy that costs us 170. And just looking in fantasy, he has already gone up $111,000.
Wow. Yeah.
He's now at 281, went up 62 this week. So, yeah, it's been... That's one thing I think we've been lucky with this year, Arch. I think regardless of a few mistakes, we've got the rookies right, which is important.
Now, Zana, I think you're going to talk about rucks in your good. Is that correct?
I am. Sorry, it's a nice segue as in. So in my good, Arch, we spoke last week that the rucks were dead. Well, I don't know if they are quite dead. I think this week some of the rucks may have heard you and decided to stick it up you. So let's go through some of the rucks from the weekend. Now, Grundy had 122 in Dream Team, 135 in Supercoach. Stanley, 109 and 119. Scotty Lysette, 99 and 123. Maxi Gorn, 108, 137. Jared Witts, 110, 115. And even Nick Nat had a 97 and a 131. So there's some fairly highly owned guys on that list that did very well. Now, I must admit, I'm ignoring Riley O'Brien, Draper, Goldie, McAvoy, Nank, and English. We're just pretending they're not there at the moment. You know, maybe in draft leagues. But, look... Definitely a bit of a turnaround for the Rucks this week. So hopefully we see that continue. And, of course, I didn't even put Flynn in there. So hopefully, mate, that continues along our merry little way. Now, Arch, we're going to move on to your bad, and you've got a bit of a story to tell here, I think, from what I'm reading.
Yeah, we do, Zano. So everyone knows we're in WA, you and I.
Yes.
And WA being behind the rest of the country anyway in time zones, daylight saving makes it even worse.
Yep.
So basically what that means for us over here is whilst daylight saving's on in Melbourne and Sydney, the games that kick off at, what is it, normally 7:50, I think, Zano, they normally kick off Eastern Daylight Saving Time or Eastern Time.
5:50 our time generally.
So daylight saving times, that means they kick off at 4:40 or 4:50, which means I'm still at work.
Yes.
And that is a problem. Especially on days like Friday when I'm super busy and I don't get to take a break in the afternoon just to have a quick look over my team and do those last minute trades and that sort of stuff, which happened on Friday and meant that I left Dangerfield in my Supercoach team, which was just awesome. It just didn't click in at lunchtime when I was on my break that they had the Friday night game because I normally double check everything at some point about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But I failed to do that, or I didn't get the opportunity to do that this week. Yep. So Dangerfield was on my field.
Nice.
On the plus side, it saved me a trade, though.
Yeah, well, it may not yet. You might still have to think about doing it, wouldn't you?
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. It's created a bigger problem.
Yeah. Oh, really? that's an interesting one. We talk about, fail to plan to fail. So... Yep. You know, a bit of planning there, Arch. I need to have a word to you about that. Look, mate, it does make it hard. But I think for me this year, the hardest thing has been the day-to-day teams,
Yes,
or the day-before teams.
Totally.
It's been at least, even though you still had rolling lockouts in most formats for a few years now, and Fantasy's now gone on board and done the same, you found that, by Thursday, you still had a really good idea of what was going to happen. So unless there was a small tweak on a Friday or a Saturday, depending if there's a Monday game or whatever there might be, it wasn't really too hard. Now, you've got to follow those teams on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And, it's definitely getting harder and harder to do because, unfortunately, we have real lives get in the way of this stuff. So, I'm with you on that, Arch. I feel your pain sometimes.
All right, so enough about my Sook and Zano. Who gets your who or what gets your bad?
So this may end up being a very common, segment in my bad and ugly as the season goes on, Arch, because I'm really starting to hate it more and more. So I'm bringing back up the standing the mark rule again this week, Arch. Now, I don't know if you saw this incident in the Essendon game or not, but if I remember right, it was Hooker who was playing forward, and the ball came in, and I can't remember what happened. He's gone for a mark, I think it was, and he was outmarked by somebody, or he gave away a free kick and a tackle. But either way, he busted a finger. It looked like he just sort of popped a bit of a finger out, or hurt a finger.
Yeah, right.
So he was standing on the mark, jumping up and down, holding his hand, screaming, going, this hurts, you know, as you do when you're in pain. Yeah. And he was told to stand while he was still jumping around in pain and got pinged for 50.
Oh, wow.
So that I couldn't believe that one, Arch. I thought that's... Yeah. Yes, that's what that's the rule. It's what's there. But this is where we spoke about last week. That the AFL needs to have a bit of a think and a bit of a tweak about some of that sort of stuff. Because that was a bit harsh on the poor bloke. I mean, I've popped fingers. We've all hurt ourselves before.
It's not fun.
It's not fun. And whether it was completely dislocated or you know what it's like, you know, you just get that whack on the finger and it feels like hell for, you know, you're holding on to it. You're trying to shake it off. And yeah, poor guy. I thought that was a bit rough on him. So, just a bit of a bad there. I think the AFL does need to really think that one through a little bit more before the next couple of weeks, because that one was a bit harsh, really harsh.
Yep. No, fair enough, Zano.
All right, Arch, now let's get into it. I want to hear about your ugly.
My ugly, Zano, I hate to do it. I really do.
Yes.
Especially to an Eagle, but it's got to be Andy Gaff.
Yep.
Now, he's had two really, really poor weeks. Now, he is a player that is renowned for his consistency. You know, his floor... Yeah, his ceiling wasn't fantastic, but his floor was.
Mm.
You know, you could pretty much put him in there and you'd lock a 95 to 110 every week guaranteed. Now, this year he has been consistent, but unfortunately he's been consistently poor.
Mm.
I thought his round one score of 70, I thought that would be the anomaly, to be honest, but he backed that up with a 60 against the Dogs today. And... You know, it's not like he's not getting the opportunity. He played he's about 91% time on ground this week.
Yep.
So he's just, unfortunately, due to other commitments, I didn't get to watch a lot of the game today. I watched about the last 5 minutes of it. Didn't sight him. Not sight him, you know. So he's just not getting, I don't know what's happened with him, to be honest.
Do you know what his quarters have been like? Because I reckon that 70 last week may well have flattered him as well. I've got him in a in our home draft, home keeper league, I should say, Arch, and he was one guy that was sort of one of my first locked in that for obvious reasons, and you know, so I've been watching him a little bit on that as well. I know a lot of guys run him in salary, rightly so as well, he's been so bad. I wanted to have a look quickly. I was wondering if he's quarter by quarters. I'm looking at this today, this week's.
I've got this week's up. It's 17, 8, 12, and. Oh, no, that's not right, because that gives him only a score of 37. So, obviously, Fan Footy's not up to date there with the last quarter stats there.
Okay.
But still, 17, 8, and 12.
Oh, yeah, jump on Dream Stats. It'll give you the graph. Yeah, cool. The Fan Footy have had issues with that for years. Sorry, I'll look at his first one, West Coast Gold Coast View Scores. And Gaffy. Okay. Oh, did that work? Oh, you'll click on the... That's right, Andrew Gaff. Click on the chart. So he had 6, 16, 9, and then 39.
Yeah, right, last week.
That was last week. So that's... I've got the other one up this one as well if you need it. So that last quarter, 39, obviously...
Was very flattering.
Big difference. Western Bulldogs, West Coast. So this week, he had a 17, 8, 12, and 23. So... Yeah, his last quarters have actually saved his score a little bit, which is really saying something.
Which we know he's got a good engine. He keeps going and going and going.
Yep.
But unfortunately, he just doesn't seem to be getting it earlier in the game. And the Eagles have got Port Adelaide at Optus this week, which is going to be a real cracker game. It's going to be tough. So his job doesn't get any easier.
So today, he scored, looks like 2 points, 3 points. He must have had a kick or something. At the 5 minute and 28 second mark of the second quarter. So he was on 25 points. At the 14 minutes and 41 seconds in the third quarter, he was still on 25 points.
Yep.
It's looking over the charts, basically what looks like over a quarter of football that he did not get
a touch. He hasn't touched it.
Hasn't got a stat. So, nah, definitely something to watch out there.
I'm still backing him to come good, Zano. He's too good a player not to, but I think it's very deserving of the ugly this week.
Yeah, it definitely has to be, mate. He's been average, so yeah.
So who gets your ugly, Zano?
There's only one that I can give it to this week, Arch. And I'm sorry, but he's got a name of Dom.
Oh, dear.
Now, he is in the Dom off of 2021. Okay, now, and a bit of a drum roll here. It is the wrong Dom. We are talking about Dom, the Why Do I Not Ever Learn Tyson Arch. In a couple of formats, I did start him. I might have got sucked into that preseason game. And yes, he's crap. So the way I thought about this, right, Arch, was if I get him and he goes exceptionally well and wins the Dom off, well, he goes well on my fantasy team. Tick.
Yep.
If he goes really bad and hurts my fantasy team, well, we're going to get a carton of beer. Tick. So it was a win-win for me. However we looked at it. Look, he has been quite poor, and you've got some numbers here to throw up in a minute. He's been hitting his sort of break-even, so he hasn't dropped off any money. But he can't be held. He has to go this week. He may even struggle to hold his spot in the team. So,
well, that was going to be my concern, is that he may get dropped there with that one. So
it's North Melbourne. I don't know who they're going to bring in, but it's got to be gone, Arch. Got to be gone.
So good opportunity to actually have a chat about the Dom off again, Zano. So we're back with Cam from, well, I can't say Cam from the Draft Doctors anymore because they're on a bit of a hiatus there.
They're on holidays.
He was on Doss's new podcast, the Pod Pod, which is a good listen if anyone is keen on another fantasy podcast to listen to, because we don't have enough of those.
No.
So we've got Dom Sheed, the superior Dom, averaging 115 fantasy points from the season, obviously helped out by that 138 in round one and 92 in round two. And then we have Team Tyson averaging 52.5 fantasy points for the season, which is, Zano, if your maths is any good, it is less than half of what Dom Sheed is
comfortably
doing.
Comfortably less than half, Arch. You know the scary thing? Last week you said that, yeah, look, we expect Dom Sheed to come down, which was fair, but we expect Dom Tyson to go up. No, he went down, Arch.
I know.
He went down. So, you know, thanks for that false sense of hope you gave me last week. it's time to move on from that. It really, really is. Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble.
Cool, Zano. So let's do that and move on with our teams now and talk about what is happening this week. So who are you trading out? Who are you getting in? I know we're recording a day early, so we haven't had too much time to digest. I think the lockout for fantasy has just lifted and the other format shouldn't be too far apart. But what are your initial thoughts?
Oh, mate, I've had plenty of time to digest. Tom Tyson was gone at quarter time in the game yesterday. Yeah, there's no issues there. Look, I've got Caldwell as well. He's going to miss games, and Dom Tyson. I've only got Tyson in fantasy, not in the other formats, because, of course, you can take a bit more risk in fantasy, whereas the others are your limited trading options. So luckily, it's only a fantasy issue there for me. But I have got Caldwell in all three formats, so he has to go. Now, there's a list of players I'm looking at, and I'm looking at guys like Gresham, Butters, Markov. I really like Markov's role. I think he's going to be a pretty consistent 80 to 90 guy. So could be a good little stepping stone. Campbell, real good cash grab there from Sydney. He's been extremely good. So I've got a few of those guys on the radar. I have got nearly 400K in the kitty for most formats. So I've got a little bit to play with there. So I'm thinking of either two things, Arch. Going those two guys down to two of those guys there. So possibly a Markov or a Campbell. And then banking a heap more money and then doing a couple of upgrades next week to someone like Young and Clark, who I've got sitting there. And they could almost both go to premiums. So playing around with that idea. I could also just go one down to, say, a Campbell and then just bring in a full-blown Oliver-type premium into the midfield. Yep. So I've just got to play around with that. But that's my thinking at the moment. It's a bit early to know for sure. But I know I've got those two guys. I've got to move on. They've got to be gone. So no matter what we do.
So I'm going to give you another name to think about, Zano.
Yep.
You mentioned Markov there in terms of defenders. Mm-hmm. I actually really like the look of Blake Hardwick. Did you see what he scored today?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, look, he's up there. The other one that I was quite big on early in the season was Mason Redmond from Essendon as well. He missed that preseason game, so it put me off him, but I always thought that he might take that Sard role, and he's been pretty good early on, as has Nick Hind. So,
yeah, Nick Hind's been very solid.
Yeah, so there's a couple of other guys there. The only thing, Arch, is I don't want to fix a problem to make another problem.
Yep.
You know? So I'm a bit worried that if I go Caldwell and Tyson down to a couple of those sorts of guys, then am I just, you know, making another problem there? But if I go down to someone like Campbell, who's going to make a heap of cash, and up to an Oliver or a McRae or whoever, you know, premium midfielder that I want, that's sort of fixing the problem. So never make one problem, two problems, or three problems. That's what I always say.
So right, I've got the Caldwell issue as well, Zano, in AFL Fantasy, well, in all three formats, actually. Yep. So for me, Caldwell will go, obviously. Paddy Dow is the other one I'm looking at. I'll probably go Dow down to a rookie, not that he's going to get me too much. So I have a bit of a look at those. I haven't had a chance to look at the break evens yet, but pretty much whoever has the highest break even. I think if I go Dow to Campbell, I probably won't get too much change out of that, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then I'll go Caldwell up to one of those guys that you mentioned before. And to be honest, Zana, I like Butters. I've got him in a draft competition, and it's just fun to watch him play because he's scoring really well. So, you know, we always say get players in your teams that you enjoy watching. And, you know, I think I might just do that just because I like watching the kid play.
There's a couple of things that worry me. The other guy I've been thinking about was Fantasia. There's a couple of guys there from Port that have been going really well. The only thing that scares me there, Arch, is they've played, 48 Witches Hats so
North
far.
North and Essendon, wasn't it?
Yeah, so 48 Witches Hats they've played so far. Yep. So I think that they might be slightly inflated. So I wouldn't think you could expect them to keep scoring the way that they are. But in saying that, if your expectations are maybe 15 to 20 points average less than they've been going, and that you're still happy with that, then by all means, I'd say jump on it. Just to stand out there, they have played, as I said, 48 Witches Hats in the last two weeks. So be a bit wary of that.
So in Dream Team, obviously Caldwell will be going there, and possibly Heppel, depending on what happens this week. And I've got a bit of cash there, Zana, so I'm looking at going up to a premium. Probably somebody like Dusty. He's been impressive. I've still liked Tim Kelly. He was the top-scoring Eagle for the day today. And Josh Dunkley is the obvious other one in the forward line there. So those are the guys that I'm thinking of bringing there. And Supercoach, the bane of my existence, Zana. So I mentioned before I didn't get Dangerfield outs. Well, I now need to get rid of Dangerfield, Caldwell, and Fife. How many trades do you get in Supercoach, Zana?
A lazy two, Arch.
Two.
In fact, you get 30 for the year, and if I believe rightly, you've already used two, so you're already a minus two.
No, I'm only at one.
Oh, yeah.
Because
only
I didn't trade. I didn't trade when I
you missed Danger. That's right. So yes.
Yep. So I need three trades this week. I've only got two. So my priorities, to be honest, are probably Caldwell and Danger, as I know they will miss multiple weeks, whereas Fife is probably only, hopefully, maybe kind of should be 1 week.
Yeah.
But we'll have to see.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. Luckily, I got rid of Danger last week, and I've got a heap of cash this week in Supercoach where I'm looking to move. I'll probably look someone like Clark. I've got my back line up to a full prem, who just has been a little bit underwhelming. But I don't have Danger. He was gone. I don't have Fife. So I'm sort of dodging the bullets in Supercoach at the moment. So hopefully I'll only get away with having to use the one trade. Only because I've got money sitting there, I don't even have to use that trade. But because I've got the money there, I don't want to leave 400K sitting on the bench for too long. That just
fair enough.
Doesn't turn into points or more money if you do that, Arch. So that's cool. All right, Arch, we're going to jump into... We've got a question, and I know we're early this week, so it's been a bit hard, but we're only about, you know, what, an hour from the last game. So the question tonight. Now, from Mr. T, Tank_SMB on Twitter has asked, dodge the Stevenson bullet, but have Dow at F4 and Warner and Rowe at F5-6, Bergman and Scott on the bench. What do we do with Dow? Do we give him another chance with his favourable fixture in the next two rounds?
Now, I'm going to throw this one to you, Zano, being our resident Blues expert. So he mentions the next two rounds. So the Blues have got Freo at Marvel on Sunday and then Gold Coast at Metricon the following Saturday night.
Yep.
My question to you, Zano, to lead on from what Mr. T here has said, does Paddy Dow even hold his spot?
There's a couple of things I want to answer here, Arch. Now, first one is he will be borderline chopping block this week. Look, Carlton are not renowned for throwing the axe and haven't been for a long time, which may also explain why they've been in the position they are for such a long time. But we're not going to talk about that because we'll be here until tomorrow morning. So I think he will hold his spot. I think Carlton need to make a couple of other changes ahead of him, and I can't see him making more than two or three changes. So, but in saying that, I'd be very, very wary of him because he's got to be a chance to come out of the team. He really does. Now, Arch, I'm going to ask you to bring up your spreadsheet of total team scores.
Yes.
There's a question he's asked, and I want to know how hard/easy have Gold Coast and Freo been to score against on the table so far?
Okay, so points conceded. Gold Coast are the sixth hardest team to score against.
Yes.
And Fremantle are about the sixth easiest team to score against.
Okay, so that would, to me, say that it's not possibly an overly favourable draw. It's probably about average. So, look... okay.
Actually, sorry, Zana, I can't read my own table. No. It's the other way around. Fremantle are about the sixth hardest team to score against.
Yep, so either way. Yep.
Gold Coast are about the sixth easiest team to score against.
So that even changes it a bit again. So are Fremantle a favourable fixture? Probably not, which they've got this week.
No, that's right.
So I was going to say that maybe you could give it one more because it's Freo, no, it's the other way. So, I wouldn't say that it's a favourable draw at all. Fremantle today in particular and Gold Coast yesterday, they look pretty good, to be honest. I mean, Fremantle have got half their team out and they're still finding depth, which is a really good sign for them. But look, if you've got a luxury trade, Dow goes, right?
Yep.
You don't have Stephenson. You've got Warner and Rowe at F5, F6 and Bergman and Scott on the bench. Look, I reckon you could play Warner and Bergman with a bit of confidence, would you think, Arch?
Yep.
I wouldn't want to be paying Rowan Scott, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's basically, what he's saying is he's got Bergman and Scott on the bench. So he's going to have to play three of the five out of Dow, Warner, Rowe, Bergman, and Scott.
Yep.
So I would think Warner and Rowe, look, Rowe's going to be up and down, but I think you could comfortably play him. The question to me would whether you would play Dow or Bergman. And that would be a toss of the coin. I think against Freo over in Melbourne, I'd still be tempted to go Dow, especially because Port Adelaide have West Coast over here at Optus. So I would, just looking at the fixturing, I'd be more tempted to play Dow over Bergman.
Yep.
But
I think he's also asking whether we should trade Dow or not, more so than who he plays. I'd be playing Warner and Bergman on field, I think. I think you're okay with that and putting Rowan Scott on the bench. Don't ask us about that, though. We know so good at it. I'll tell you what, just quickly, though. I mentioned a guy earlier, and I haven't looked at pricing because, again, it's only just lifted on lockout. You could quite comfortably move Dow to or Campbell, couldn't you?
Hang on, let me tell you.
Price-wise, you could, but I'm talking about actual scoring, and I haven't got it up at the moment. I would think you'd actually make some cash. You'd have a lot better break even, and you'd be a little bit more confident with Campbell on your field than Dow at the moment, and then use your second trade to maybe do something else in your team.
Yeah, that's right.
Even if Dow does play and is up against Freo, I'd be more comfortable with Campbell on field at the moment than Dow.
Yeah, so Campbell's now priced at $312,000 in AFL Fantasy.
Dow won't be far away from that.
Yeah, and Dow is $345,000. So you could swap him there.
So you can pretty much
I think you'd get better value out of that.
Much better break even, making 50 grand for later, plus your value. And I don't think Campbell's any risk of coming out of the team at the moment versus Dow that might be. So if you can do it, I'd be moving that way for sure. For sure. But that's it this week, Arch. So a little bit shorter than usual because, again, we haven't had a lot to mull over this week. But yep. Thanks again, everyone, for listening in. Anything you've got, hit us up at OTLS Zano. Of course, jump on for overlinesports.com.au for anything which is brought to you by Check My House Price. Where, of course, Arch, you're still doing a hell of a lot of stuff on NBA. As well as a few other bits and pieces. And, of course, we just hope everybody stays safe at the moment. There's things changing around us again as we speak. So.
Yep, absolutely. We know what it's been like in Queensland, so hopefully that gets itself sorted out pretty quickly. Yep. And, as always, you can get me at OTLS Archie on Twitter. And, Zane, I did want to highlight, we mentioned Lifeline every week, 13, 11, 14, and it's good that the AFL's taken our lead and created Spud's match, which was on, I believe it was Saturday night, Saturday. The St Kilda game, to highlight highlight the mental health. And, you know, they just want to encourage people to talk to your mates. So we catch up every week and do this, but we're always chatting throughout the week and that sort of thing. So I do encourage people to just reach out, even if you haven't spoken to a mate that you've got for a little while, just reach out and have a chat, be it, you know, over the phone or via text or whatever. You know, just reach out. There's always somebody there to listen. And if you don't feel comfortable reaching out to a mate, as I say, 13, 11, 14, Lifeline's there. They're professionals there to help you out. So please give them a call. And as we always mention, Zano, hit us up on Apple Podcasts, and not just us, but all the fantasy podcasts that you do listen to. I did mention the Pod before with Doss and Louie and a couple of other guys there, so that is a good listen as well. And they're a new podcast, so they could always use the rating and review as well.
Absolutely. Look, best of luck, everybody. I think we've got another Thursday night game this week, so be prepared. Watch out for daylight savings, and hopefully we'll get our trades done in time. Thanks again.
OTLS Sports, giving you the analysis and advice you need to get over the line.